Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Red Rising, thank you all so much for being with us on this Saturday morning, August 14th, on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. Well, today we are joining live a block party, because we've been talking about how do we create a safe community. And the important thing about building a community is getting to know your neighbors. So if you are isolated and you don't know anybody where you live, then how can you possibly form a community when no one knows anybody and everybody's afraid of everybody? So what we want to encourage every community to do is to develop connections, find ways of coming together so that you know your neighbors, you feel comfortable with your neighbors, and you're one big happy family, as opposed to many different fractions of families where no one knows anybody, everybody's afraid of everybody, no one speaks to anybody, and therefore no one works together. Well, we're glad to be able to give an example of the success of when families choose to come together and choose to create a safe place for children. Because this is really what it's all about. It's always about the children. And the children need to feel that they are connected to a wider community. So we'll be live on our Female Solution Facebook page, giving you a visual image of what a community looks like. We want all residents to experience what it's like to live someplace where there's no fear. And what makes a community is when you know your neighbors, when your neighbors are not strangers, when your neighbors cooperate, when your neighbors look out for you. So you can walk down the street and feel safe. You can speak to each other by name. You can look out for each other's children. We often talk about what it takes to make that happen. But one of the things that we often fail to do is step forward and make it happen. And as a result, we keep blaming other people when where we live is unsafe. But in fact, nobody will save us, from us, for us, but us. You might remember that common slogan that Reverend Jesse Jackson often said when it came down to getting rid of crime and violence in the urban community. There are not enough police to do the kinds of policing necessary when the neighbors don't trust each other. You can't always look to law enforcement. Enforcement of the law must be on the inside. And each member of the community must have the law inside of them, an agreement not to violate their neighbors. So today from 12 noon to 4 p.m., the residents of the Laughlin Street at 1600 South block of Laughlin Street in the Maple Park community will be enjoying a socially safe, a COVID-safe block party. But these are residents who have, many of them lived here since the beginning of this community in 1962. And they are second generation, third generation. They are bringing up their children with the notion that communities are safe. So we should not have as a fear the people who live next door to us. We should not be fearing the people down the street from us. We should not be fearing the teenagers who play their music and gather with their friends. We should not be living in fear at all. We should feel the power of our own capacity to police ourselves, to control ourselves, to monitor ourselves, and to recognize ourselves. People who walk down the street where they live should be known by everybody who lives on that street. And when we do not reach out for those who are our neighbors, we suffer. So we'll be right back after this message. And we're going to bring you members of the 116th Laughlin Street Block Club, where residents have chosen to work together so that they can provide a safe place
for their children. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif. And just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to hear from some people who have chosen to make a difference, particularly in the neighborhood where they live. And we'll talk about what it takes to have the courage to reach out to the neighbors where you live. And we'll be back after this short break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
About finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hey. Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Chief, and we are live at the 116th Laughlin Block Club Party. We're going to talk to some of the organizers of not just this event, but of the Laughlin Street Block in general, and talking about how you go about making a community safe for residents, because this is a time when people worry about whether or not they can feel safe in their community. They worry about public safety and the scourge of violence, and it was actually an act of violence that kicked off the decision for residents to come together and to choose to make the neighborhood safe as opposed to succumbing to fear. And so every neighborhood can make this decision to choose to be a safe place to live, to choose to be an environment where people trust and know their neighbors. So we're going to give you an opportunity to be a part of this gathering. You can join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page. That's www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. And you can call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Well, we want you to have an opportunity to meet some of the people on the block. And so, we certainly... We certainly want you to feel the vibration when there is, we want you to feel the vibration of peace and harmony. Hey, yes, 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 we are ready. So now if you have joined us live on Facebook, and that is 515-605-9325, we want you to call in. But if you have joined us live on Facebook, we want you to give us your comment as we show what it's like. A peaceful community in which the residents have chosen to build. Now, one of the things that neighbors often have issues with are young people together. But your block should be a place where you're not afraid to gather. Block should be a place where you're not afraid for your children to come. And if you have joined us live on Facebook, you see a nice, peaceful block. There's a history to this place. So how do you create a peaceful community? Every community can be a place where you have no fear or worry. It's a matter of somebody taking the time to get to know their neighbor. It's just that simple. We see each other as monsters. We see each other as nuisances. We see each other as dishonest, fearful people. So if you are afraid of people, then instead of talking to them, you talk around them, and you end up calling police when you could be calling them directly. And this is why we want you to share in this festivity.
Nobody like you. Hey, girl.
We want you to think about where you live.
Nobody like you. Baby, everything I want.
If you are afraid of the place where you live, you can't have peace. So we want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. So right now we've got the cotton candy set up here.
Hey, Robin.
Hi,
how you doing? I'm Roz.
Okay, I was about to say,
I
have bouncy houses. Going to go down here and take a look at some of the activities that children are having fun in the bouncy house there. And it was well sanitized. And oh, we got people playing, what is that, Jenga, I believe? Yeah, you know how that goes. So if you're listening online, want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. One of the things that happened in many of our urban communities is that it became very distant. People stopped speaking to each other. And when people stopped speaking to each other and children grew up without knowing their neighbors, places became unsafe. But we're bringing back the safety here at 116th and Lapland Street. Oh, wow, that's a good one. So, we want the streets of Chicago to be safe. We want the streets of Chicago and the streets of every community to be safe. And we want neighbors to know their neighbors, trust their neighbors, and enjoy their neighbors. So, of course, what we did is make sure all the cars were gone from the community. We had these signs put up so that everybody would know they need to clear off the street. And so we're just kicking off here, giving us an opportunity to get to know the neighbors on the block and giving us a chance to get to know the children on the block. Yes. Go around and so now this is weed and sign. Here by request. It's on a calming device. Okay, so we have like 40 of these. Got 21. One for each house. How many houses? 40. But yeah, we could do that. Oh, okay. So that'd be 41. Yeah, that'd be 40. Yeah, that's you got a pen?
Mm-hmm.
That would be fine. Okay. So what are we looking at doing? Is that in that corner there?
Yeah, that's 117th, I guess.
Okay, yeah. So we have a petition that residents are going to be signing to make sure that traffic control. They go, now while I'm standing here, because we're kind of close to the music, but I'm on a live radio show right now, and we're talking about how the Lapland Street block is demonstrating how you create a safe community. Maybe we can, as you walk around and get signatures, maybe you can give us your view on how we decided to come together after we had that horrible incident when there was a shooting on the block.
I believe the community, the block became concerned, and we wanted to make it a safe neighborhood because this is a nice area. And we felt by all coming together, we were in unity of making everything calm and right for our kids to be out here on the street.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think we came together as a unit and decided that we're going to do a block club, and we're going to have a block party and show unity throughout the community.
Yes. You know, I grew up here. And when that shooting happened, it was really kind of horrifying because, you know, my daughter was looking out the window, and to see that was just
so scary.
Right.
And, you know, me and one of the other neighbors, you know, Laverne, we had been talking about getting the block club reactivated. But that was kind of like the catalyst, you know, the wake-up call.
That was like the straw that broke the camel.
Yeah, because we had never had anything like that on this block. You know, there's people living here since the 60s, you know.
Right.
So I think that's the answer when something happens, rather people move away and run, they should stop and organize.
Yeah, so we're going to prevent that. We're going to go at the tragedy before it becomes a tragedy.
Right, before it becomes a tragedy.
Right. We're going to get it before it starts to be. Put a Band-Aid on before it starts on the cup before
it bleeds. I like that. Put a Band-Aid on the cup before it bleeds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and, of course, your husband, Reverend Gregory Indy, is the Block Club president.
Right.
Which, you know, we're really glad that he, you know, took the reins of leadership, because I think we always have to have a spiritual base, because that's who we are as a people. That's how we survive.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that but everybody's kind of pitching in, you know. I've seen a lot of people I hadn't seen before, a lot of children I didn't know lived here.
Right.
So that's good. That's good. When I was growing up, we ran up and down these streets all summer long. There was no fear at all. That's what I want them to experience. No fear. No
outside.
Yeah.
Sometimes on Saturday, your kids can come out there and play when you do have a block party.
Yeah.
You know, so they can grab their bike. They can run up and down the street. They can play ball. They can come out and worry about anything happening.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Well, all right.
Well, you're doing a great job. We're going to get these petition signs to get the little, what do they call that, the circle in the episode? What do they call that? They call that a... They call it a
traffic circle.
A traffic circle. Okay, and it's slow traffic down, so you don't have to be speeding through.
Right. So I'm going to put people make an announcement, and then walk around.
Yeah, maybe you might want to make an announcement to officially start the party or whatever. Yeah,
that'll be good. Yeah, I'm going to go and get one of these tight candies, so why don't you walk over here and be the kids?
All right. We've got cotton candy. So I'm Naima Latif. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And we are live here at the 16 Alaska Street Block Club, where they're demonstrating how you create a peaceful community. This is a community that was formed in 1962 when many of the veterans from World War II wanted a place for their families could live, but a lot of the black veterans were not able to buy homes because of, you know, racial prejudice. Got my female solution. So, what? I believe it was Coleman Bank. Said there was finance.
Clap your hands. One time to let us know that you're listening. Yeah, come on, we can do better than that. Laughing Block Club, first time in a long time having a Block Club party. Let's enjoy, let's have some fun, let's eat some food, let's listen to some good music from the one and only DJ Swag in the place today. I'm one of the hosts. We have a host of team members, and we'll introduce them at a later time. There will be games for the kids and fun, all right? So let's have some fun, y'all.
Hey! Hey! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
Baby, today is my heart is crazy. Don't know what's going on. As I thought that things were bad, I swore that we moved on. And it seems the more I did, the more
One more announcement real briefly that we have voters registration down at Brickman. Raise your hand, Linda Williams, so they can see you. She's going to come down. If you don't come to her, she's going to come to you. So if you're not registered, do yourself a favor and get yourself registered right here with Linda Williams. Thank you.
So civic responsibility is all part of this. And
also we have a petition to be signed, hopefully by everyone on the block, for a circle at the end of the block to slow traffic up coming through the block on 117th. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, so here we have public safety. We have civic responsibility. We've got tacos here. And, you know, we've got food being served. So we have a chance for people to feel comfortable in the ways that they used to back in the day before we had to worry about gun violence. Living in fear of your life is an unnatural state. And we want to end the unnaturalness of having to worry about people shooting, because it most certainly is not a normal thing when you have children. We're understanding that we have to get back to normalcy. So we're going to have games in the street. We're going to have children play and adults play. And one of the things that we're realizing is that things don't happen until you make them happen, until you decide to change things. Things don't change. So we're realizing that the people who are responsible for making a difference are us. We are the ones that we've been waiting for, as Barack Obama often said. We are the ones we're waiting for. We are the ones who have to change things. We are the ones who have to choose to make our neighborhood safe. And often, when adults don't speak to each other, then they don't understand what children are actually going through. So the children in this community have a chance to grow up in a place that is safe and secure, because the adults have chosen to make it so. So we've got basketball. We've got folks grilling down here. So naturally, in times where people know each other and they feel comfortable with each other,
then they can call on each other in times of emergency. It's when we let ourselves become strangers that we create places that are unsafe for our children. And this is what we want our children to feel. We want our children to feel safe. We want our children to feel that they have a place that they call home, that they can feel comfortable with. So this is what we want to give people an opportunity to experience. We want this generation of children to experience a feeling of safety. So here's a block club sign. And we're standing by the block club sign, sponsored by Solo Soleil. But here, if you're joining us on Facebook Live, the block club sign basically says, welcome 116th and Laughlin Block Club. The block is watching. No illegal activity, no loud music, no solicitation. Drive like your children live here. Sponsored by Solar Soleil LLC. And this sign on either side is one sign of dignity that residents are actually in harmony and together in their vision. So, Claude Myers. Now, which one is the graduate, the recent graduate? You had a recent graduate in your family a couple years ago. Now a college man.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, congratulations. Hi, how are you? I'm Naima from down the block, and we're on Facebook Live, and we're on radio. Yeah. Oh, well, all right. Pleased to meet you. Yes. Thank you for making him a good father. Yeah, so we were just talking about how, you know, this kind of came together as a result of a tragedy, you know, I guess a couple years ago, someone shooting out here, and then we realized we had to start the block club again.
Block club started when that they were shooting at each other, one in, one down. But.
Yeah, he said, "Oh, we can't have that because you know we were growing up. That was just unheard of."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, we.
I said, "Growing, I've got kids shooting across the street. Oh, the rest across the street. You know, my block's white. Every across the street, one of his friends got
a." Oh my!
Yeah.
Yeah, the children should never have to experience something like that. That's traumatic. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what I'm realizing is, no matter where you move, there's always going to be all kinds of people. So you really have to make the place where you live be a safe place. Yeah, you know, because I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, I know we got people around that might be a little unsavory, but you know, like with the signs of saying, look, we're not having that here on this block. At least you're gonna act like you got some sense.
It's so ironic. The DJ was saying sign of petition for speeding, right?
Yeah.
And no sooner than he said, here comes
somebody speeding down the street. Boom. Yeah. 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 So you gotta make people behave, you know, so if they had to stop and go around the circle, that would slow down a little bit.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but I see people racing all the time. I don't know why. Where y'all going? What are you doing? You know, it's children. Yeah, where's the racetrack at? Where are you thinking?
In Morocco, Indiana. Go to the racetrack.
Yeah, go to the racetrack. You want to race your car. Yeah, because we have children that we want to be able to play up and down the street and not get hit. Yeah, so yeah. I like these chairs. Oh, yeah, so here it is. So we got some. It's nice meeting you. I live right there. Where the cotton candy place is.
Where the cotton candy place is.
Yeah, right. You see what I was living in the place in the little
okay.
Yeah.
Come down
get some cotton candy. Yeah.
thrilling. Hey, now. Yeah, got some bouncy house activities. And, yeah. I don't know. Y'all let old people come in there? I don't know. So, yes, we're going to, before we go to on the break, we're going to take a call at area code 605. Grand Rising. Who is watching The Female Solution? Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments.
Yeah, my name's Joe. So
hey,
I came
Joe.
Because, how you doing? I came
excellent.
Because I'm going to, yeah, thanks. I'm going to bet that your ideas about keeping the community safe are going to be way different than my ideas.
Okay.
So have you elaborated on your ideas yet?
Well, you know, my idea is that if nobody is anonymous and everybody knows everybody, that makes you safe because then you when I was growing up, somebody did something inappropriate. They were a young person. You called their mother. You called their father. You called their house. You didn't call police because you knew the family. So you didn't criminalize people for hanging out, being loud or whatever. And there just was a sense of safety when I was growing up. So what are your ideas of how to keep a neighborhood safe? Joe? You with us, Joe? Check your mute. Joe, you with us? I'm not hearing your audio. I don't know if that's me or we got Mama AZ on the line. Mama AZ, I'm doing a sound test. Can you say a few words? Mama AZ? I'm gonna make sure I haven't lost my audio signal here. Well, of course, at the break, we're going to go off of Facebook Live and give our listeners the chance to comment. And, okay. Joe, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, what happened was that I think Google is messing with my phone. I keep getting messages from Google that they want me to install an app. I keep saying no.
Oh.
So I think in retaliation, they're messing with my phone. So
that,
every
that
once in
happen.
A while, I'm going to bet this phone's going to conk out. But in the meantime, let me make this short before my phone conks out again, if that's going to happen. Is that, yeah, if people know each other, yeah, you might be able to tell your kids or the other neighbor's kids, hey, you got to stop that because by the time you get home, you're going to get an ass whipping because I'm going to call your mom. But you also mentioned if there are people who are doing some drag racing on the block, if they're adults, you can't stop them. You can tell them don't stop, but that's not going to mean anything. They're going to keep on doing what they're going to do. So that's why I say my idea of keeping a safe community is going to be more radical than most people's idea. Yeah, people can get to know each other. I've had block parties. They're good. You get to know your people. And then you decide, okay, some of these people, I don't even want to be bothered anymore. But in order to, for the purposes of keeping the community safe, in my opinion, there have to be a certain cooperation amongst the people in an organized.
I agree. There has to be cooperation. And you can't control adults. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we talked about having one of those little traffic control circles, because you can't force people to obey speed limits, but you can make it so that if they speed, they'll tear up their car. So therefore, they choose not to speed because they got to slow down and, you know, go around the circle or go over a speed bump. So you're right. You have control over children, but what happens when adults
don't follow the rules. And, you know, we hope that social pressure from other adults, such as, you know, if we talk to them or, you know, try to meet with them or have a group of people from the block meet with them, you know, we would hope that would help. Sometimes you have people that are just defiant. And that's when you have a challenge, when someone who is an adult, you can't threaten with, you know, punishment from their parents. I would like to be able to use all social means to correct behavior before we call in law enforcement, because law enforcement creates a whole different atmosphere. And you have to call police on your neighbors, and usually, you know, law enforcement, if you call them, that means, well, this is not your friend, so you don't care how I treat them. And, you know, I don't want to see anybody wrestled to the ground by police because they sped down the street. I just want them to stop. So I don't know. What do you think is a way adults can correct adults without using law enforcement? Do you think there's a way to correct adults without using law enforcement? Thinking about a lost Joe? Uh-oh, let me see.
Hello. Yeah, I'm back again.
Oh, yeah, we're back. Okay.
Google is stepping up the harassment. Okay, to answer your question, which I did here, you can't do it without law enforcement. Because if adults are criminals, they're going to laugh in your face. You're going to have to take out a Smith & Wesson and blow their heads off, and you're not going to do that. But they will. They'll take out a Glock and blow your head off. So you have to have law enforcement. That was my first recommendation, is that if you're going to have the block party and you're going to get to know each other, then somebody should become the leader of a block organization and represent those people to the cops. Get to know the cops. Let the cops know we're behind your back if you're behind, if you support us and you've got our back. We're also going to monitor you to make sure you've got our backs. That's number one. Number two, criminals cannot survive.
Well, that is true. Now, we do have, we actually have, you know, we have a policeman on the block, who lives on the block, and we also have our block club president who has met with, and vice president who have met with the 5th District Commander. That's the area where we live in. And they did send a car here to kind of, you know, monitor things. So we built a relationship with the local police, and we've made a list of all of the residents, so we know their residents, their names, their contact information, their children. So, I mean, that's so far that it has at least created a measure of feeling of safety. We know everybody lives in this house. We know who the children are that live on the block. The police commander of the area has met with the residents. You know, they have a representative that they send out. And we got the little signs in the window to say, we call police, you know. Plus, you know, some residents have security systems. So I think we've done all we can do to, in a civil way, try to keep things safe. Now, the question is, when someone, like you said, is just a straight-out criminal, how do you handle that? How do you deal with somebody who is lawless? You know, if you've got a person on the block and what they do is, you know, they break into cars at night or something, how do you handle that? So do you think, and we've had this conversation before about, you know, certain people have conceal and carry. I'm not for a whole bunch of gun carrying, because usually what happens, people get a gun and then they get an argument with their spouse, and that's who they end up shooting. They don't shoot the burglar, because the burglar doesn't come in and announce, okay, I'm coming, got a gun, you know, go and get it now. That doesn't happen. Usually they get you by surprise. So what are your thoughts on that in terms of residents carrying guns? What do you think?
Okay, see, we got Joe back here. Oh, we got, let's hear from area code 314-381. Well, Joe reconnected.
Naima, what kind of community are you going to have and don't have no police?
Well, like I said, we got police. I mean, we got one of our residents, police officer, you know, got
company.
Yeah. A police
community.
But
what are you going to, if you go out and say something to somebody, cheer them, their parents can sue you. So you got to have police who have qualified immunity. And police are your employees, so you should have input on their rules, regulations, and how they interact with the public. And I'll tell you something else. Your community or your city should have an ordinance requiring every home to have a weapon, like the five or six that already exist in the U.S. You got Kennesaw, Georgia, which is right outside of Atlanta, Nelson, Georgia. You got about two in Texas and one in Colorado. The city ordinance require every household to have a weapon and for the people to know how to use them. That's a pretty good start off for a community.
Well, like I said, what I've observed, when every house has a weapon, they end up shooting each other. You know, man says, yeah.
Well, they don't do in this city, and Kennesaw is about 40% black.
Well, it's not the weapons that keep people safe. It's the attitude of the residents to keep people safe. I mean, you can have weapons all day long. Either people are going to respect each other as neighbors, or they are not. And if people don't have a sense of community inside of them, you can't do it by force. You can't make people.
Well, you're
have,
not supposed to have a weapon to force. You use a weapon for self-defense.
Right. But again, if a robber comes into your house, they're not going to come and announce, okay, I'm coming in, you know, get your gun ready. That's not going to happen. You'll be taken by surprise if that happens. But what tends to happen when people do have a weapon in the house and they get into a heated argument with their spouse or loved one, then somebody goes and gets the weapon, and then it becomes an incident of domestic violence as opposed to
well, they do that with knives and forks.
That's true.
Matter of fact, you have more people injured. You know, you have more people injured in this country with knives, fists, and clubs than you do with semi-automatic rifles.
That's true. So people are violent. I mean, the violence is inside of them. And the way the way you make it safe is to get the violence out of the people. You have to.
What are you gonna do? Give them an exorcist?
You have to be able to raise people in an environment that is loving and kind and compassionate. You can't have a place where people are always under stress and always under threat and expect them to become peaceful.
Yeah, but how are you going to prevent, how are you going to, you can't make people go to no stress-free classes, Naima. That's human nature.
But you raised your children, they're not criminals, right?
I got
so
guns in the house. I got guns in the house, Naima.
But they didn't behave because you had a gun in the house. They behaved because they had ethics and values that you raised them with. It wasn't the gun that made them behave because they weren't scared you're going to shoot them if they didn't do their homework. It was
well,
they
know how to use it.
Self-respect.
My daughter, my grandson, the last one, I've got to teach how to use a weapon correctly under the circumstances. But and they didn't go to public schools. Except the one, he wanted
to.
No.
Okay.
My daughter never went to school.
So
my grandson went later on in a few grades because he wanted to participate in some sports. But he went to a private high school. He started off private. In the middle, he went to a couple of years public, and he finished private. So, no. That that method is an idea thought, but it don't work in practicality. Are you outside in Chicago with all them kids?
We are in Chicago. This is south side of Chicago.
And, with all them kids out there like that?
Community.
Oh, my goodness.
So if you all are watching us on the Female Solution Facebook Live, you can see elders, young people all playing together and eating and having a good time, grilling, all of that. This is a community that was formed. This 300 home area, 1 mile square, was formed in 1962 for Black World War II veterans and their families to have single family homes. And young couples moved in with their children. Those couples, of course, have now since raised their children. That was us, my generation. My generation is here. We've raised our children. And some of our children have come back and raised their children. So we're on the third generation in a community of Black families that have managed to keep the place relatively safe. But then when we saw the appearance of violence on a peaceful block right outside my door, we knew we had to get into action and revitalize the block club and recreate the atmosphere that existed when I was growing up, where we played all day and all night long on these streets with no fear of any kind of violence. And that is doable, but it can only happen when the neighbors know each other. My parents' generation, the ones who moved out here, everybody knew everybody. When the time came, the snow hit, all the men got out, and they worked together to clear the snow. And, you know, borrowed each other's lawnmowers to mow their lawns. So, I mean, we grew up in an atmosphere of cooperation. So when that other element, the criminal element, began to creep into our safe community, we decided we were going to fight back, not by everybody going to get armed, but by us forming a community where there is protection for the children. So these children,
well, that's sort of like
all the neighbors look out for them. And
that's sort of like Little Village has, the Latino community.
Yeah.
They didn't let rioters come over in their community.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So that's a good
ready.
Idea.
So, I mean, we're getting all the traffic control kinds of things that we can have the city do to slow down traffic. You know, we're doing the nonviolent things that we can do. But it's
that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah,
now let me ask you a question.
Every family has to be responsible for their own children and their own children's behavior.
When time comes for somebody to move, do they put for sale signs on the yard, or do they do it quietly, privately?
Both ways, usually privately. So we've had some
that's what I thought.
We've had some families that have moved, and their house was the deal was quiet. You know, another family moved in, so it wasn't just like anybody moving in. Sometimes it's a family that you know.
Well, let me ask you something else. Now, you know, that's illegal because it's not illegal, but it's what used to be called illegal and racist because you are doing what's called a coveted activity.
Well,
you are, that's a coveted activity. Now,
you know, or what kind
I understand.
Of real estate. Sometimes it is a private real estate transaction. Sometimes it's public, but most of the time, the houses that have become vacant, usually it's sold before the residents are aware that it's on the market.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just think, okay,
Thing. That's the same thing that whites done in those neighborhoods before blacks moved into them. And they would ridicule and call racist and everything. I'm just pointing out that works both ways.
Well, I totally understand. And I don't criticize communities that want to monitor who moves on the block. Because one family can wreck an entire block if that family has people that do not conform to rules of decency.
You remember Bertha Gilkey? You remember Bertha Gilkey?
Vaguely. What was the story behind them?
She helped start the tenement ownership at Cabrini Green. She was from St. Louis.
Yes.
All right. That tenement control does the same thing what we're talking about. They're using covenants. She done the same thing. They had the same thing in St. Louis at another housing project called Cochran Garden, where you had a committee that people that wanted to move in there, they gave the application to the committee, and the committee scrutinized and screened the people, and they brought them in for interviews and asked them questions. If they didn't pass the interview, they were not allowed to move in there. These were black folks. And you had the same thing at Cabrini Green. So what I'm saying is...
That's what I'm saying is this,
that's how things, or what you're talking about, go about. But what I want to make mention of, when white folks done that, oh, baby, that's racism. Or was it necessary?
Well, I think that residents have a right to make sure that the people that live in their community maintain the standards. Let me bring in another caller here. I think Joe is back with us at area code 605.
Yeah,
so,
I'm
Joe,
back, but who knows for how long.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Bianca, how you doing? I'll see you later on tonight. The thing is that I'm agreeing with Bianca. I'm going to try to make this as concise as possible because Google's really messing with my app today. Okay, here's the thing. I believe in discrimination. I believe that the a block should make sure that it only allows the people that want on this block. Now, let's say, for example, you're a black community. Okay, let's say you've got about 1,000 people in your community, maybe some apartment buildings, maybe some homes comprising, let's say, 500 to 1,000 people. Next door to you, okay, is a community of bikers and is a community of white supremacists. I'm all for bikers. I'm all for white nationalists, not white supremacists, white nationalists. But they don't have to live in every neighborhood. Okay, I'm all for people who want to screw their pigs up the butt, but that doesn't mean I want them living next. I don't want them living next to me. Blocks should have associations that are cooperative with their landlords and the police to make sure that the community which they have now stays that way. Criminals cannot survive where you don't allow them in. You cannot have a bunch of storefronts next to your community. Okay? It's inconvenient if somebody leaves the house to go, you know, they want to go right down the block to get to the neighborhood store. Okay, but those stores sell out. Okay? And they sell out to whoever's going to buy them. But if the community has the, as Pianchi's talking about, the coveted type of monitoring, you can make sure that those stores and the residents just don't sell out to everybody. Everybody has a right to be with whomever they want to be. Blacks have a right to keep out whites. Whites have a right to keep out blacks. Asians have a right to keep out everybody. And that's the way I feel about it.
Well, I must say, Joe, I understand people wanting to be comfortable with people that they feel are going to be in harmony with who they are. And I know, as Bianchi said, when whites did it, was called racism, but other communities have wanted to do the same thing. Here in Chicago, we have very distinct communities. You have Chinatown, Greek Town. You have the community where the Spanish-speaking people live. You have the Polish community. So you have people who want to feel comfortable with those who they feel are culturally in tune with who they are and what they believe. I respect
and
the, people
and
who
it
like
should stay that way. Yeah, and
now,
that's a, and here's another thing too. You can't allow clubs
Because here's why you don't want the storefront. You have to have control of the storefronts. You do not want clubs in your community because clubs will bring in the criminal element. Okay? You want the clubs to be blocks away from your community. It does
that. That can happen if the clubs do just to engage in criminal activity. And for those who are watching us on Facebook Live,
right.
we've got police officers here. They're visiting the block club. They're interacting with the residents. They've got a car here that's, you know, parked there to keep an eye on things. So, you know, it's a very peaceful relationship that we're building.
Right now, but let me finish before before Google interferes again. You've got to make sure, if you can, to have an industrial area next to your community, but not in your community, because clubs will attract people from another neighborhood, from another community, and you will have problems, okay? You don't want the problems next to you.
When you say clubs,
you want
like
the, you want them.
Clubs, those kind of clubs, what kind of clubs?
I know, I'm talking about regular clubbing, regular after-hours clubs, bars. They have disco and dance music and everything. I go to clubs, the clubs are in an industrial area. You cannot keep your community safe if you don't have the cops on your side, and if you allow the slightest hole for criminals to crawl through.
Well, now, I understand what you're saying. I have a friend who owns a club. He owns a nightclub, and he speaks of how, matter of fact, I was on a TV show with him the other day, John Ector, you know, top. You know, he's got a club where he says in his place, all the various street organizations and people who are usually at odds with each other, in his place, he keeps it like neutral territory, so he actually feels that his club add to the safety of the community because it's more like neutral ground. So I think it depends on the climate that the owner of the club sets. I think it depends on the level of respect people have for the community where the club is. Now, personally, I'm not a drinker, smoker, drug, or any of that. And I know when you're doing things that bring you out of your normal mind, you're subject to not behave in a way that is responsible. So I'm not for having a club anywhere in a residential, near a residential area, personally. And I think that residents have a right to not want one in their community. Now, in terms of...
You don't want the noise, and you don't... Clubs, okay, club owners may have good intentions. But if you get enough club owners hanging, you know, opening up clubs, you get one or two clubs that are going to have drug deals. That's where a lot of criminals meet in clubs, in back rooms to have club deals. I mean, to have drug deals. You don't want that in your community. You want it as far away as possible, because once they start having it in your community, you're going to feel unsafe. Residential areas should be separate from business areas.
So, Joe, what city are you calling from?
Montana.
Montana?
Yeah.
So you're in Montana? So
yep.
What is the diversity of the area in Montana like? Are there diverse ethnic groups or they
no diversity?
They don't
no
move.
Diversity.
Blacks don't move to Montana. Too cold.
One of the things you were saying about people wanting to keep out people who are different. We tend to judge people based on how they look, and we tend to assume that someone who looks different can't be trusted. And a lot of people act out of fear if someone moves into their community that looks different. Now, I'm all for people wanting to make sure that the people who live in their community are culturally harmonious and homogeneous. But if someone moves into your neighborhood that's different or you perceive as different, I think it is unfriendly and rude, whether it's whites moving in a black neighborhood or blacks moving in a white neighborhood or or Hispanic moving in an Asian neighborhood or whatever the case may be, if a family has bought a home and lives there, I think it's only neighborly to welcome them, even if they look different or speak a different language or have a different religion.
Multicultural,
I don't think it's right to make someone unwelcome once they are there. I do understand screening.
You don't have to make
it
feel unwelcome. Multicultural diversity, it does not work, has not worked, is not working, okay? People do want to stay with each other. When they're outside of their particular neighborhoods, then they start vying with each other. For resources, they start fighting with each other, okay? You have to have communities with good schools. You have to have communities which are safe, and those communities which allow that, uphold that, cool. But I'm going to tell you something. You would think that people who move from a lower-income neighborhood, which go to a middle-class neighborhood, would actually adapt to the middle-class neighborhood. They don't. You would think immigrants that come over here from another country would be grateful to be over here where the laws are more relaxed and there's more freedom. They're not. They are pains in the ass. They destroy the real estate value. They don't know how to drain their dogs. They don't know how to put the lids back on the garbage cans. They don't know how to mow their lawns. And in apartment buildings, they put their stuff outside their doors. They do not know how to adapt to a sense of propriety. People have to look out. Those people.
I'm saying
keep them out.
Well, that's the same thing happened in Ferguson,
Naima.
That's the same thing happened in Ferguson, Naima.
What happened in Ferguson? I mean, there were riots.
You had blacks escaping crime in North St. Louis City.
Yeah.
Which was east of Lucas and Hunt. You were there in Ferguson. You were there probably right there by the railroad track, the overpass, the Emerson Electric. Well, blacks came out in Ferguson in that area back in the late 60s and 70s. And whites moved, and they took over that community. Then later on, through the politics and also the, crime continuing, you had more blacks move out in those areas there on Canfield Drive, where you had a lot of townhouses. You had them on Frostwood, where it was behind Ferguson Market, where Mike Brown tried to sell the man some marijuana or something. And that kind of element led to what we've seen in the riots. Now, at the riots, blacks moved again. They moved out to Florissant. Matter of fact, so many have moved to Florissant, which was all white, that Florissant now is the seventh most richest black community in the country. Did you know that? Florissant, Missouri.
So how did Ferguson get so violent then? If people were leaving,
Is because the families that was moving out there. There was black families that was moving out there.
I thought it was the peaceful families that were leaving St. Louis to get away from crime that moved to Ferguson.
No, all the people that was getting away from the crime in St. Louis got away back in the 70s, in the 60s.
So
that's why the schools in St. Louis. See, St. Louis population, the St. Louis Public School District used to be over 100,000 students. Right now it's about 22. People move that can move. You also had black families that moved over into St. Charles County across the Missouri River. St. Charles County is about 95% white. Wentzville, my wife's nephew moved to Wentzville with his family. He stayed right there behind the service station, the gas station, the Quick Trip that got burnt down. He moved. Wentzville is practically all white. So it can't be saying that blacks are scared of whites or they're scared of white police, because when they flee, those are the areas that they flee to.
So the question is, who are people running from? Who is the enemy? Who's the villain? who are the dangerous people that everybody is running
you know,
away
Judge,
from?
You heard of Judge Joe Brown, right? You heard of Judge Joe Brown, right?
Oh, yeah, he's down the show, yeah.
Judge Bro Brown had his house burglarized 6 times.
Wow.
In the neighborhood he tried to stay in, which is black. It ain't no white folks coming and burglarizing Judge Joe Brown's house. And all blacks are not doing this. That's another thing. People want to include all blacks in the mix. You cannot do that. For whatever reason, it's just not factual.
So, well, now let me ask Joe a question. And where you are, was it Montana? Is there crime anywhere
yeah.
in the neighborhood where you live, Joe?
Very, 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 very little. That's because
okay.
the people here believe in the Second Amendment. Okay, we are, let's say, the leftovers from the old cowboy movies. Okay, you do not
right,
mess
so...
with people in Montana, Wyoming, or the Dakotas. Those are the same rugged individualists from the old frontier days. You can be a wise ass, but you can't be, you know, you're not coming in to try to make organized trouble. You can't have bikers who are going to make trouble. You don't have the mob coming in to make trouble. You don't have it. You don't allow it. In fact, we're
so
waiting for a certain Antifa. Yeah.
So
I'll tell you what's
the
grievous. I tell you what's egregious, Naima.
Because they know that they are armed. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't hear you.
So you're saying, so Joe, you're saying that because the residents there are armed, they don't that criminals don't.
It's not just having arms. It's not just having arms because you put arms in the hands of the criminals are going to misuse the guns. It's having an attitude. Now, I once, before my app went out, before you were talking about, you know, if you have a domestic violence situation, the husband, and let's not forget the wives, they can reach for a gun. That's true. But you also said something about a burglar who's not going to, question, is this the house that I can burglarize? Yes, they are. If you have a community where you have 100, 200, 300 people, and everybody's got a gun, and you know it, and across the way you've got another community which believes in this gun-free nonsense, and you have burglars, and you've got a small gang, okay, gang wannabes who want to rob you, and they know that that community has no guns, on the other side is a community with guns. Which community do you think they're going to try to rob?
Well, you know.
I do know.
So I don't know if robbers think about who has a gun and who doesn't have a gun. Because
what
people aren't sitting on their porch with a gun, so they don't know who has a gun until somebody pulls it out and
shoots
it.
But like I said, if the community, if you know the community, everybody's got a gun. There are training Anyway, you know where they train you to have with your arms, and you know that the community has the guns. You see people walking around with guns, concealed carry or not. Are you as a criminal, are you going to go and try to rob the community that has no gun, or are you going to try to rob the community where as soon as somebody hears a noise, out comes the of Coke 45?
Well, I don't know. I would assume that
you don't know?
People are armed would make a difference, but I don't think that's what makes this community safe. So here on the radio with a couple of gentlemen. We're talking about the safety of the community. And Joe from Montana says that what keeps the community safe is everybody being armed. And I said that isn't what keeps the community safe. What keeps the community safe is when all the residents know each other.
I
also said that too.
You know my family, I know your family.
Right.
Okay.
That's not going to keep your community safe.
You can't just respect.
Hey, guys.
Nobody.
It's not going to do it.
You're the first person on the block, and every other family is looking at you. You can't get respect.
So it's a social pressure.
You're talking about with kids.
No,
but it's not happening with adults.
And I,
jeez,
and
I don't understand
myself, but I don't believe that. Not in our community.
Well, then.
Speaking outside of our community, that's a different story.
Yeah, well, that's but Naima.
People who don't follow any social rules and
Naima.
You know, violating the social rules.
Naima. Yeah, Naima.
So Pianki from St. Louis.
Hello, guys. Pianki's trying to say something.
As of last Sunday, which was August the 8th, in the last 69 days, I said as of last Sunday, which was August the 8th, which was Sunday, you don't had 1,331 blacks shot by other blacks in 69 days.
That's a good idea, yeah. So you say,
they can't hear
us. What happened?
Oh, yeah.
I said since up until last Sunday, from Memorial Day, 69 days, you know, I had 1,331 blacks shot and 180 murders. There's nowhere in the world I'm going to stay nowhere near a community like that if I don't have protection. Your kids can't even walk down the street to go to school.
Well, let me ask a young person here. Young man.
Let me call my young person, too.
So we're on the Female Solution Global radio TV show, and we're having a conversation.
Let me call you. Let me call my grandson who is in college.
Well, hold on, Bianca. I'm going to talk to this young man who's out here doing some great grilling here. He's graduated from high school a couple years ago, in college now. The question is, what keeps a community safe? Is a community safe if the residents are mostly armed, or is a community safe when the residents know each other? What do you think makes a community like this safe?
I think what makes a community like this safe is when the residents know each other, feel comfortable around each other, getting acquainted with each other, and just knowing each other too much, just having a good relationship with your neighbors.
I don't seem to agree, and I mean, this is our future, you know, minds that are going to be leading the nation. So he says what makes a community like this safe is the neighbors knowing each other, not so much that, you know.
Yeah, well, let me ask him a question. Let me ask your young friend a question. Can you hear me, young friend?
Okay, he wants to ask you a question. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Go right ahead. Ask your question.
All right. Here's the question. Now, you're in a community where nobody has guns. It's a gun-free zone. They don't believe in it. They think that it's going to contribute to more crime. Now, you're in that community. Now, you've got some clubs there, let's say. And you notice that there are unsavory characters going in and out of the club. Now, you also have people up staying out all night getting drunk. Now you've got a few more incidences of cars being broken into. You've got people riding up and down the street with souped up motorcycles and cars. What are you going to do now? You know everybody, but what are you going to do?
Can you repeat the last part?
You've got people who are going in and out of clubs at night. Okay, the clubs closed down. You've got them hanging around the neighborhood. You've got them riding up and down the street with souped up cars and bicycles and motorcycles, not bikes. What are you going to do?
Well, first, I believe you should start a block club if you feel unsafe. And then let the proper authorities
and what is that
about all the activity in the neighborhood.
Okay. So, in other words, you're going to call the cops?
Yeah.
When the cops going to come, they got guns on.
Tell them, Bianchi. Okay. How do you think cops enforce law and order? Now, I'm not saying that the majority of cops are good. I happen to think that most cops are not good. And that, and the reason is because you have supposedly 20% corrupt cops, but the good cops allow the corrupt cops to get away with the shit that they get away with. So I don't think cops in general are really good, but they're good for the community as long as the mayors and the governors allow them to be protectors of the community. And like Bianchi was saying, when they're coming in, when you're calling them, you want them armed or do you want them unarmed?
Well, I believe it depends on the situation if it's armed or unarmed.
Well, they can't.
Well,
they
the situation
can't
just, I just
they can't leave the guns at the station. They don't know what they're going to meet. And, you know, you say you need, you want a community where everybody know everybody. Well, that's literally impossible. If you got a community, what we call the covenant community, that's illegal because that's what blacks was complaining to whites about, that they don't sell their homes to black people. You can't control who buys your home. So how do you know who's going to move in the neighborhood?
You said, how do you know who's in the neighborhood?
And what is,
how you know who's moving in your neighborhood? It may be a criminal. You can't keep air. You can't control who moves in your neighborhood. That's discrimination.
Yeah. But you can introduce yourself and get to know them.
Right.
See what type of person they are.
Right.
And bring them over to your house so they
there.
Can bring them over to your house so they can see what you got.
Yeah. Well, I don't think people knowing that someone has a gun makes them behave. I think people behave because that's who they choose to be. I mean, if they choose to be a decent person. But, you know, I think what he's saying makes a lot of sense. If the first thing you do, if there's a problem, is organize a block club like we did, I mean, that changes things. Yeah, we still had some incidences, but not on this block per se. Not with, I mean... The more unified you are, I think the more you tend to repel people who might try to pick you off because they know that you're not by yourself. You know, we got signs in the window that say we call police, you know. We got the block club sign says the block is watching. So,
and why are they scared of the police? Why are they scared of the police?
Nobody's
afraid of the police.
Got
guns.
Well, the police, that's their job to use force for people who don't know how to conduct themselves according to social rules of proper etiquette. If you don't know how to do it as a result of your home training, then you have to do it as a result of force. But ideally, you
police
can't.
Police
are
not trained
to
do that.
How to behave.
You can't call the police because your neighbor doesn't mow the lawn. You can't call the police because the neighbor doesn't take the garbage out right. You have to be in control of your neighborhood, and just because you have a block party and you know each other is not by itself going to keep out the criminal element. You have to control who's coming into the neighborhood. But
well,
if you do
true.
That, then you are guilty of what
that's
you're.
Capacity,
but then
yeah.
you're guilty of what you criticize other people of. But I am for it. I am for discrimination. I am for people wanting to stay with their own. I am for people not bothering other people. I am not for the KKK bothering black people, and I am not for Black Lives Matter bothering white people. I am for people who are of the same mindset doing their things together or separately.
Well, I think you agree. People of the same mindset. I, like Cassidy was saying, I think you organize your neighbors and people who are of the same mindset, then they agree. That
but what's
going to
keep the next neighbor from coming in? What's
here's
going
another
to keep
thing
the next
too.
Neighbor who might...
Here's another thing, too. Black people will come together to run the Klan away, but you won't run them blacks away that's hollering black power, carrying guns, and marching in black suits, and Black Lives Matter. They just as bad.
Well, I think people protesting excessive force of innocent citizens by police is not the same thing as people who are tearing up stores and looting because they're taking advantage of a time of disorder. There's a difference, and you have to know the difference. There's nothing.
Well, those black kids that was downtown Chicago breaking out windows and looting stuff, they gonna come back home.
It's not the same thing as it's standing up for justice and fairness. It's not the same thing.
But that's what they say they're doing. That's what they say they're doing. They say, go ahead and instill their insurance will compensate them for it. So when they get done doing that, they're going to move back to your quiet street, unload that big screen TV, and take it in the house and watch it.
Also, you're thinking that Black Lives Matter is just a peaceful movement. This idea with a peaceful, with the protests were 96% peaceful, that other 4% caused $2 billion worth of damage. Would you be saying the same thing? Would you be saying the same thing? If the Ku Klux Klan had marches in your neighborhood, they were mostly peaceful, but they had a few people each time they marched burning down buildings.
Well, I think that, you know, when you speak of people who are of like mind, people who are of like mind don't necessarily look the same. So that's another assumption. The assumption that safety means people who look like you, that's not the same. People who think like you, that's what's the same. So you might have people
that's
who
what
are
matters.
Different ethnic groups, but they all agree that they want to live in a safe community. You might have people who are the same, but some of them are criminals. So you have to be able to judge
character. That's what we've been saying.
What did Dr. King said about judging people by the content of their character?
Content of character. True.
Yeah.
Not what you look like.
But when Martin Luther King came to Chicago and marched into the white community, what happened? He caused trouble. When the Klan come in and march in, hang on for a second. He caused trouble. He caused disruption in that community. You can't look at it no other way. All right. So when others, when Klans and Nazis come walking into the city, they get a permit to march, and they ain't causing no trouble, but trouble is caused upon them. King had a permit to march in, what was that, Cicero, Illinois? King had a permit to march in Cicero. And trouble happened. The Klan, the skinheads, have a permit to march in a city street. But trouble happened. It happens on both sides, but we only complain about it when whites do it. And, of course, I guess whites complain about it when blacks do it, too.
That's
but there's
true.
A difference between when you're having people, for example, the Ku Klux Klan and the skinheads and Martin Luther King marching in very real peaceful protest and something happening to them. That's different. But
well, the Klan start off marching peaceful, too. They don't start the at the march they just had in Tulsa
saying.
When the Black Panthers was talking about killing whites, digging them up and killing them again.
Well, that's not the Black Panther. That's the new Black Panther. That's different than the old Black Panther. The old Black Panthers were a lot different. Okay,
old
the new Black Panther Party has it. There is. The Black Panthers from the 70s had a different mission than the new Black Panthers. The new Black Panthers, they wanted to kill every white person on the street. The old Black Panthers, they wanted to defend their communities by
any means. Well, I agree with you on that.
There's a substantial
difference.
There's a substantial difference. But, again, when you have people who are marching and something happens to them, that's different than the march and the protesters creating the damage.
Well,
themselves.
I agree with you on that, too, Joe. You have people that come in and infiltrate those marches and start problems.
But see, here's the thing, Gene. I forgot the hostess's name. I think you were going to leave there.
Naima.
The Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Naima.
So,
that the whites who had infiltrated Black Lives Matter did the damage. That's true. But every time Black Lives Matter marched, they should have looked out for white infiltrators or for black infiltrators, but they didn't. They marched, I think, something like 44 times last summer, or 32 times, I forget which. And almost every time they marched, you would have thought they would have been on the lookout for people who with Molotov cocktails, right? But they weren't. Why weren't they?
Well,
if I was in charge of a march, I would absolutely be looking out for the people who are ruining my good name. And anybody with a Molotov cocktail, the people, my other people would have had orders to drag him down, throw him up against the wall, call the cops, and have them arrested. But Black Lives Matter did not do that.
Well, you have a lot of people that take advantage of high emotions, and their intention is to create disorder. And you really can't control the people who are creating
yes,
disorder.
You can. Yes, you can.
Because that's the job of law enforcement. I wouldn't say that the average citizen needs to always be armed. Now, I'm standing here now with two residents of the block who are saying that everybody being armed isn't what keeps them safe. So let me ask you this question.
They can think that all they want.
Okay,
let me, again, here's the question. Here's the question I'm going to ask that I had asked about 10 minutes ago. If you are a criminal and you know that that there's one community where everybody's got guns and another community next door where you know everybody doesn't have guns because they think that it's disruptive, where is the burglar, the bikers, the criminals, where are they going to go? Who are they going to rob?
Yes. Well, you know,
okay.
I'm talking to Joe from Montana and Tiangi from St. Louis, and
how do you go from being a baby to a grown?
Everything goes back to a
How do you go from where?
To the parents.
From a baby to a gun.
How do you go from becoming a baby all the way to a gun? How do you make that?
Children
are innocent. How do you go from that to all of a sudden everybody's armed? How do you?
Everybody should have been armed ever since the last 200-300 years. Why do you think the Second Amendment is there? The Second Amendment is to prevent people from being robbed from looters and.
At that time, we're fighting the British Army, but there's no occupying army now. So everybody.
No. You got to read the convention minutes of the convention. They were there to make sure that the government did not take away their rights as individuals.
Nice meeting you.
Okay. The constitutional minutes will show you that. That's why the Second Amendment is there. To make sure people can protect their property from other people,
crime at all,
and especially the government. If you have, you seriously believe that if you take away guns, that the people, the criminals, are going to say, "Well, my God, they passed a law. I can't use this gun anymore." You think that's going to happen?
Then you got politicians like Danny Davis.
Inside the people. I think it's what's inside the people. How do you raise your children? Do you raise your children with ethics, moral values, and principles, or you didn't? And if you didn't raise them right, then wherever they go, it's not going to be safe because of what's inside them. So as kids, our responsibility is to raise our children so that they can fit into a society. If we don't do that,
many of them don't do that. What do you do when you have a politician like Danny Davis who says it's okay for everybody to come into the country because you got plenty of room?
People coming in.
And you heard him say that, Naima.
Safe as long as the people are conforming to the rules.
You heard him say that, Naima.
But they're not.
They in the country illegal. How are they forming to the rules?
What rules? There are 100,000 last year. Naima. Oh, forget about that asylum nonsense. Forget about that. Look, last year they have recorded over 100 over the past 2 years, leading up to 2020. Okay? Over in the southwest portion of the United States. 100,000 felonies committed by illegals. Do you think they're conforming to the society's rules? That's all I got to say about it. Don't get me started on immigration, okay?
Well,
I'm gonna have to.
Well, we got to take our last break before we come back. I appreciate you gentlemen giving us your...
Yeah, I'm going to have to get out of here, Naima. I got to go oil my guns.
And, yeah, you don't go oil your guns.
I'll see you later.
And we'll be
right
back.
I'll see you,
Bianca. Thank you so much. We're going to take our last break, and you're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif.
Well, so,
we're
and you still think that...
Well, Joe, you know, I think when we live in fear, we really don't live. Because you can't enjoy life if everybody around you is an enemy or a potential enemy. How can you truly enjoy your life when you're always on guard? That's my opinion. I think that we can change any condition without violence, because at the core of all of us really is a peaceful spirit.
All right, Naima, tell me where you live, because I know a bunch of bikers around here who are just eager to cause trouble.
Well, riding a bike doesn't cause trouble. I mean, I have friends that
sure doesn't.
I had a motorcycle club. I have friends that, and they do charitable work for children. I have a friend who's head of a motorcycle club, and they took a group of children on a college tour. So
I'm not talking about those
bikers.
Riding
a troublemaker.
Right,
well,
I'm
those
not,
other
okay.
ones.
Then tell me where you live. I'll tell me where you live.
Good manners.
Right, and I'll let these people know, and you and them can have a nice discussion.
You probably could. I can help them find.
I don't think so, but that's okay.
Because it is there, I believe that, and so because I believe that, that's how I approach every human being, and I really have not had a negative encounter with anybody, even bikers with tattoos on the face and everything.
Okay.
I believe that everybody has, you have to appeal to the higher self in everybody. That's my belief. I'm sure that there are those whose behavior is so dangerous, nobody wants to be around them without armed protection. But I believe that there is a higher power that is more powerful than a gun. And that's who stands with me. So that's why I don't have any fear.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Well, in any case, Google seems to have been, I don't know, maybe somebody told them to stop. In any case, I've been on for longer than 40 minutes without them interfering. Yeah. All right. Well, you're about to close out the show anyway. You've only got a few minutes left.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I should come back and, yeah,
feel
I'm glad I'm here. Like
tomorrow.
I was about to say, I should. Oh, yeah, got another show tomorrow? Okay, cool.
Yes, well, tomorrow we're on from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central, and the Soul Purpose Healing with Viata, and then, of course, Monday through Friday, we're on 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time, right here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. So, Joe, we look forward to hearing from you. Anytime you feel the urge to call, give us a call. We'll be glad to hear your voice.
Okay, thanks. All righty now. All right. Well, thanks. Hey, you have a good weekend, okay? Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. And I'm Naima Latif. And, of course, feel free to join us live on Facebook, Female Solution Facebook page. We're going to sign off now after a few announcements and go enjoy this party of residents here at 160 Lassen, where people know their neighbors. They feel comfortable. We got a Michael Jackson impersonator here. We've got some great people that are really making this a wonderful place to be. And we're serving tacos, and we've got music, and the elders and the youth are having a wonderful time. And this is what it's truly all about. And this is why we say that what really makes a community safe is love. Not guns, not fear, but love. So if you're joining us on Facebook Live, we got a little tumbling here. We want to see. Woo! Hey! All right. So we've got some great things. Tacos. Let's see, we've got a little integration here. We've got school supplies for the children. And this is what makes a community. So, we've got a great time we're having here on 116th and Laughlin Street. And
I'm Naima Latif.
We've been listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. Join us tomorrow for Soulful Healing. Soul Purpose Healing with Beyonce.
Oh, let's get you ready to have pride. Round of applause again. Come on, one more time. One more great LPC in the LPC, the place to hug me.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.